Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the state of the restaurant industry in Iowa? Let's go in depth with Jessica Dunker, President and CEO of the Iowa Restaurant Association. Jessica, what do you do for the restaurant industry in Iowa?
So we're an advocacy and education organization. We lobby at the state level on issues that we believe will make a better business environment for the hospitality industry. We also are the leading provider of required food safety education in the state. And we also do a little bit to celebrate our industry. We do annual awards program and recognize leadership throughout the state. And in particular, we elevate women in the industry through our 40 Women to Watch program.
The second funnel of the legislature approaches where certain potential legislation won't get through. Can you tell me what you've been lobbying for and what you're trying to do to help improve the restaurant industry?
Absolutely. So the primary piece of legislation that we've been working on in coalition with others, other business groups, is some reform to the current child labor laws. And you know, we look at that as no one wants children to work. We don't want children to work, but we do want youth. We want teenagers to be able to have opportunities to hold first jobs and to be able to do that in a way that is beneficial to them and also makes it easy for businesses to provide them opportunities. 50% of people in the United States, that number is now up, got their first job in the restaurant industry. So obviously, we have a lot of vested in the young people across the state, but we're working in collaboration with others, such as the Grocery Industry Association, who also provide a lot of youth employment. There are three things in the bill that we are really focused on. It's a very large bill, and different groups are focusing on different areas, but there are three areas for us. The first and probably most important one is the extension of the minor school license to work situations. When you look at the priorities that we place on young people and the way they spend time, we allow 14 and a half and 15-year-olds to drive directly to and from school from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. for anything school-related, whether it's a show choir practice or a school dance or to watch a basketball game or to do weightlifting all summer. And so, but yet the same privilege is not offered to kids to drive to and from on a direct path to work. So the same 15-year-old that can drive to the dance can't drive to their job. And we'd like to see that change to have the exact same parameters as a school license. The second thing that we'd like to see happen is an extension of work hours. Currently, if you are 14 and a half or 15, you have to be out of the building by 7 p.m. We'd like to see that extended to 9 p.m., which is what the current legislation is addressing. And it's back to looking at where we put time priorities for kids. A 15-year-old sophomore in high school who wants to go watch a varsity basketball game can't do that until 7 p.m. because the Iowa High School Athletic Association requires all those games to start at 7. And yet that same student can't work at a job after 7 p.m. So moving that to 9 is the suggestion that's in the legislation. We're not a state that's trailblazing on that issue. Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Georgia, Texas, a lot of states have already done that time extension. And so we're looking at what they've been able to reasonably get done, and we're hopeful for something similar to happen in our state. The third piece that's in the bill is the first two obviously impact anybody who's hiring teens. The third piece only impacts our industry, and that would be extending the ability for 16 and 17-year-olds with parental permission, so you'd have to have documentation on file, to be able to carry a drink from the bar to a table and also be able to ring up a ticket that's got alcohol included on it. This would be in restaurant environments only. There The original language just said sell and serve. We've worked with a group to be able to modify that so bars aren't included in that language. It's really more of places that might do a brunch on Sunday morning, or some of the chains that serve alcohol, and Applebee's as an example, where if you have a 16 or 17-year-old server, they're able to provide all of the service to a table. We're comfortable with that as an industry, in large part because in a restaurant industry, no 16 or 17-year-old is ever going to be alone working in a restaurant. There's always a general manager. There's always someone in the kitchen. There's always the bartender or whoever is making the drinks. And so we think there's enough guardrails around that that could be incredibly beneficial to teens who are trying to work in the restaurant industry as servers and make quite a bit of money with tips as well as their wage. So those are the three pieces that we're focused on.
More in depth after this. Continued my conversation about the state of the restaurant industry in Iowa with Jessica Dunker, President and CEO of the Iowa Restaurant Association. With respect to the industry, this all pretty much makes sense to me, and I've known enough young people over the years that they think it's pretty ridiculous they can't work until 9. I know this is controversial, but I think that a lot of the controversy with this comes from having them, I don't know, 15 years old, maybe 14 years old even, working in the construction industry and in packing plants. And I think that I don't think is a good idea.
Yeah, so some of the language that is in this, because this bill, the genesis of this bill, was a group of industry people in a broad spectrum of industries that came together and read it from line one to the very end and made suggestions to the Legislative Services Office that drafted the bill. And there is some misunderstanding out there that this about what the skilled trades really want to be able to do. Almost everything in the bill related to the operation of equipment or the skilled trades side is offered in the context of a work study program where you are being provided exposure to some of the equipment and possibilities that they weren't previously allowed to try, but always in the context of educational supervision. So the vast majority of it is that on the meatpacking plant, which, you know, we keep hearing about meatpacking plants and mines. Students could only work in the offices of a meatpacking plant or in a mine the way the rewrite of the legislation is. So there's a great deal of misunderstanding out there about what the bill is trying to do. You know, as an industry, we believe that there are wonderful career paths in the restaurant industry and in the hospitality industry that may require some college or, you know, certainly a four-year degree, but not necessarily. You really can make a lifelong career in our industry by working your way, you know, through the ranks. On the construction side, same thing. They really want to provide students who maybe aren't university bound the opportunity to look at what kind of skilled trade career they might be interested in, so that upon graduation they can either enroll or maybe already do some dual enrollment through the work study in a particular skilled trade and be ready to join the ranks of folks that are electricians or framers or, you know, carpenters. So, you know, everyone that was engaged in creating this was really thinking about how to help provide students exposure to careers sooner, so that maybe they get on a path that is rewarding to them right out of high school.
More in depth after this. I continue continued my conversation about the state of the restaurant industry in Iowa with Jessica Dunker, President and CEO of the Iowa Restaurant Association. Well, I originally started reaching out to you. We've talked a couple of times over the last few years. I think I first reached out to you just as COVID hit to see what we could help keep our local restaurants in business. And I'm wondering if we're still facing these challenges that came with COVID or new challenges. What's the state of the industry?
Well, I am expressing a lot of concern about the state of the industry right now for a couple of reasons. For the first time ever, our industry is facing, on average, a 15% increase in cost of goods, a 15% increase in cost of labor, all wrapped up with consumer inflation at levels, you know, that hover around 8%. And so when you look at that perfect storm economically, what's happening is that people still want to come out. We still are seeing numbers through the door, but the way people order is changing. And so we're seeing more people order two entrees. We're seeing maybe they drink water or don't order a beverage or don't order a second beverage. They might not have appetizers and dessert. They're really more value focused. Yet we still have to have the same number of people there to be able to provide a particularly table service at the levels they expect. So while traffic might be up, and if you look at gross revenues, they might be up, profitability is down for the restaurant industry. And we are, as an industry, really feeling like we're hitting that threshold for what people will pay for a burger, a sandwich, a steak, you know, fill in the blank. At some point, you know, people won't, although they seem to be paying, you know, $7 for a coffee to go, you know, there is a limit to what people can do. So it's a very economically scary time for folks because, you know, we've got that traffic coming through. We're struggling to find workforce. We're paying cost of goods at levels that we've not seen. And those people coming in are changing the way they order and purchase and enjoy our hospitality.
Well, and we've just learned about a major closing in downtown Des Moines, the Spaghetti Works. Is that part of this?
I think I am not familiar with exactly what happened at Spaghetti Works, but I will tell you that at this point in time, even something like Spaghetti Works, which was in business for 45 years, there's almost nothing that would surprise me right now related to either a closure, a sale, or a change in a service approach for any kind of restaurant or any restaurant. And there's a couple of reasons for that that are invisible to most people. The first one is the EIDL loans, the emergency disaster loans that a lot of people took at the federal level. When those came out, they were based on how much loss you had, and you could borrow money at a very low interest rate, and the payment was deferred for 30 months. So a lot of people took on debt load, and it then for 30 months didn't have to make payments while 30 months has arrived. So I think there are a lot of places out there that are facing debt loads like they've never seen. One of the memorandums that came out of an SBA committee meeting up in D.C. was projecting that 30 to 50% of SBA loans under $100,000 were potentially going to default. And so, you know, the SBA is going to have a lot of small business people, a lot of small operators, and, you know, under $100,000 is an awful lot of potential Iowa restaurants and taverns, that there's a potential for default there. The second thing that is directly related to our industry, and you and I have talked about this before, was the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, and that was a federal program where 2,400 Iowa operators completely qualified for funding and would have received, that was a grant program, grant funding, but the program ran through the money so quickly that only 800 Iowa restaurants ever saw that grant money. And if you received it, you have to have had it spent in 2 days, right, from now. By the end of March, all of that money, if you are parsing it up, it has to be gone by the end of March. And so, you know, a lot of the programs, the, you know, the the day has come where the programs either are required to have resale or the funding is required to have been used. And so there are potentially operations that we might have seen close at some point in 2020 that got money to get them over the hump. The problem is what was on the other side was cost of goods, cost of labor, lack of labor, and a consumer inflation rate that no one was prepared for.
Any good news?
Good news. Well, you know what? Traffic is up. So we are still welcoming people through the doors. And we are starting to see people make some operational shifts to make themselves more efficient. You know, we are the oldest profession. I always tell people we are actually the oldest profession because restaurants and taverns have been welcoming people through the doors from the beginning of time. And always we've been able to come out on the other side, and sometimes we look different. So we do believe that you will start to see slimmed down menus that restaurants can make profitable through the third-party delivery services. So we feel like we're getting close to a place where that can work profitably for them and for us. There are people that are still doing some really interesting things to go, like cocktails to go. The state of Iowa made that permanent. We're also starting to see the innovation in technology, particularly in the quick service area, where consistency of, you know, it's pretty easy to have a machine that can consistently do the same kind of fries or the same kind of assembly of a sandwich. It's harder to do that in a restaurant where people have very specific orders in the full service restaurant. Technology will never replace the chef, but it can be used when your value proposition is you know, consistency from operation to operation. So yeah, there are good things ahead too. I am hearing from some operators that business is booming. So I think that operators that have been able to navigate that course are continuing to find actually opportunities to open new places. And you see that yourself, right? The Orchestrate folks have opened yet another place in your community because they were able to leverage and find operational efficiencies. So there is always good news to be found in the restaurant industry. COVID, we are not going to recover from COVID on the restaurant side for at least another 2 years. So a total of 5 years is what we project. I also work with hotels. We're actually projecting a 10-year recovery for hotels. And we just were not able to change our operations enough to make anything good happen for any of us in COVID.
Well, and there's another way that we can help, and that's something you taught me one of the times that we can talk, is that even if we don't feel like it when we're out, we can always order the dessert to take home.
That's right. You can all, I mean, there are some really highly profitable items on every restaurant menu, and it isn't the most expensive item generally. It's often something that you don't expect. We always say, just, you know, tongue in cheek, always order fries and a beer, because beverages of any kind, whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, is the greatest profit center for almost any establishment. And then fries, although potato prices have been fluctuating, but fries still tend to be one of the most profitable items. And, you know, it's always time for dessert. So, yeah, those are places where you really have high profitability in what you make and how people purchase it. So, yes, always have fries and a beer. And if you can sneak in some chocolate cake, that sounds like a great day to me.
Thanks to Jessica Dunker for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe. An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIA KRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIA KRLS.